Amen. I would invite you to go ahead and stand to your feet. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Isaiah in the 58th division of Isaiah. Isaiah reads like a mini Bible. You've got 66 chapters there in the book of Isaiah. And you got some of them that say old historical context. And then you've got the messianic writings that come latter in the part of the book of Isaiah. And we're over here toward the latter part. So you know there's something to be said for that. And as she was singing about, I have been blessed, folks, we would have to say that we have been blessed. And I'm a 48-year-old man, and every year that I have a presidential election that I am eligible to participate in, I always hear the same words. This is the most critical. This is the most important. This is the most important of your lifetime, preacher. And I have to say that it's been that way, Brother Davey. Ever since I stood guard when I was in the Air Force, and I got to stand guard with President Reagan, and I find those Reaganomics and those Reagan conservative years to be some of the best years of American patriotism. I find that to be true. I mean, he was the standard that all the others looked back to. But oh, how we have gotten away from that area of conservatism. Oh, how we have gotten away from patriotism. Oh, how we have gotten away from American exceptionalism, and how we've gotten away from liberty. Bless God, liberty is the only thing that we still got. The freedom to take this blessed blood-stained banner and throw that thing under your arm and go wherever you want to with it. You said you can't go everywhere you want to with it. Bless God, last year, on the day of national protest, God gave me the liberty and He gave me the privilege to go down in, on 3000 Maplewood Avenue in front of a Planned Parenthood abortion clinic in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And bless God, Brother John, because of the liberty that I'm preaching in today, God granted me that liberty and He granted me that right. But one day that right will be taken away from Josh Blevins. One day that right will be taken away from us, and they will call that hate speech. Forget the fact that countless babies are being slaughtered across the street, but they'll tell me I can't stand out there and cry out against it. That is a liberty that God has granted us, but those liberties are slowly being eroded, and our blessings are going to be stopped because of the liberty oppression that's coming from this left-wing radicalism and liberalism. That stuff's coming, and it's coming hard, and it's coming fast. And folks, somebody's going to have to stand up and scream out against it and preach against it, because if it hurts the devil and every demon in hell, Brother Joe, we do need to resharpen the sword. We do need to refocus and keep the main thing, the main thing. I've been told all of my ministry for year after year after year after year, after tens of years, and leading on to the second set of 10 years that I've been trying to pastor, that you cannot grow a Baptist church upon an independent, fundamental position and make it last. You're going to have something to keep the people. Bless God, Brother Chris, we've got 200 plus, 250. Sometimes hit 300, sometimes hit 170. Every Sunday, they're not coming to hear jokes. They're not coming because we got a ball team. We don't even have a ball team. We've got a place for the kids to play, but that's not why they're there. They're there for the preached, infallible, inerrant scriptures that Brother Joe just told us about. They didn't come to hear three good pick-me-ups, feel goods, get us out the door so we can beat the Methodists down to the restaurant. They come to hear this book. I feel good this morning. Y'all better be glad I've got a stint, or we might be here for a while. The book of Isaiah, I've got you standing. I'll read this and I'm going to give you the title of the message. Cry aloud. What does that mean? Cry aloud. In the Hebrew tongue, you know what that means? Cry aloud. Don't hold back. Proclaim it loudly. Isaiah said, to know where we're at in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah the man, oh, what a man of God he was. And I'm going to use his words, and I'm going to catapult us though to the book of Ezekiel, because Ezekiel was another hard-headed, a head harder as an adamant, harder than flint had God made him. We need some hard-headed preachers that's willing to go ahead and toe the line. And if they come to get you, Josh, just say, honey, I'll be back later. Send them buckets around so y'all come get me out. Otherwise, somebody else going to have to preach for me Sunday night. And that's probably coming, that Davy Shelton will be put in some kind of shackles. I've seen you preach, brother. I preached alongside you. You look like the madman of Gadara before he was found clothed in his right mind. You were still running among the tombs, yelling and shouting and screaming out that people better repent. 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 We don't hear that anymore. But the Bible says, cry aloud, spare not. What's that mean, spare not? That means don't hold back. Odin, it means what it means. Don't hold back. It says to cry aloud, to spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgression. Did it tell them to, when they come in, to pacify them and to make them feel good about their sin? It didn't say that. It said to tell my people and to show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast you find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, you fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of the wickedness. Ye shall not fast as do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day up to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness? And folks, I want you to hear this. Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, that you may break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Brother Joe Farmer, ask God to bless us, sir.
Our Heavenly Father, as we come to the grace of God once again this morning, we just thank you for the opportunity to come to your house. Lord, thank you for the service we pay on this part, Father, your God. I want to thank you, Father, Lord, for this atmosphere, Father, God. Hear the free word of God, like we've heard this morning thus far, God. And Lord, just looking for another word, Father, your God, for you this morning, Father, God. I need it, Lord, in my heart. I need my soul today, Father, God. I just need more of you, Lord. Bless this whole world, Father, God. I need more of you in my life. And as I've been preached this morning, God, I just need to be sharpened. My soul needs to be sharpened today. Help us, Lord, just to stand true to the word of God that you called us to preach, God. And I just pray, Father, your God, this morning, please help us to open our hearts to the word of God, Father, your God, today. Forget about everything else, God, and just open our hearts to the word of God today, Father, God. Just receive the word today, and I pray, Father, God, help us today, Father, God. Realize that, Lord, we are living the last days, Father, God. We need to take a stand, Lord, today, like we never took a stand before. We need to do that today, Father. Please, now just bless, Lord, our pastor, Father, God, Brother Mark Hall, Lord. I thank you for him. Love him, Lord. I'm just asking now, Father, God, please, Lord, just use him, God, this morning. Touch his body, Father, your God, and help him today, Father, your God. I pray, Lord, fill him up today and use him, God, for your honor and your glory. And these things we ask in Jesus' name.
Amen. As you're being seated now, I will give you the title of the message. The title today is this: You have the right to remain silent. We're enabled and endued by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. Even our Constitution affords us certain liberties and certain rights. And even as I opened up with this, that even though those liberties are slowly being eroded, you still have the right to assemble. We still have the right to proclaim the Word of God without any set of boundaries put upon us. Oh, just north of the border, we support missionaries into Canada. Brother John Cottle comes to my mind. For instance, we support Brother John and his dear wife up there north of the border. They already have legislation that has been passed, and it is now considered a hate crime. Just north of the United States, in the great country of Canada that sits just above us, that if you proclaim homosexuality as being a perversion or being a sin, you yourself, Brother Davey, could be taken and locked up. Why is that? Because they have now now got hate crime legislation on the books that you can't talk about that. Folks, it's no longer sin. Brother Robbie, it's not some kind of a perversion or something. It's now just different. It's an alternative way of living. That's all that it is. So what if Johnny has two daddies or Johnny has two mommies? Let me tell you, bless God, if the book says that it's sin, it's still sin. I don't care what kind of a man, what kind of a court rules, or what kind of a legislative body tries their best to put a stamp of approval on it. And bless God, it's going to be up to hard-headed, bald-headed even, Brother Joe, preachers of the cross of Christ that will stand up and not be lily-livered, penny-wearing, afraid to preach it like it is, that'll stand up and call it, Brother Odin, what it is. It's sin. The Bible says to spare not, to cry aloud, and to show the people their transgressions. Amen. We've got to show them, preacher, because if we don't tell them, then how in the world would a man ever come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ if he first does not understand that he is a sinner? You've got to hang that man out over hell, and you've got to get him out there long enough for him to realize that this that I am doing is an abomination in the sight of God. We use the law according to the book of Galatians. It is our schoolmaster that teaches us and points us to a man by the name of Christ. If we don't take them to the Ten Commandments and say, thou shalt not commit adultery, Jesus said, wait a minute here, don't just say that. He said, if you look upon another with lust in your heart, you're an adulterer at heart already. You got to take them to the Word of God and show them that thou shalt not bear false witness. What's that mean, preacher? It means don't be a liar. And every politician I'm seeing, they're all liars. It doesn't matter if they're Republican or Democrat. They're telling us lies. They're telling us lies to get our vote. But let me tell you, God's not mocked. God's not mocked. Somebody's going to have to take that law to them and spare not and cry aloud and warn the people and say, these are transgressions. They're contrary to God. And whenever you go contrary to God, there's a price that must be met. There's a price that's going to be paid for our iniquities. Our sins are ever before God. David, the psalmist, cried out. He said, my sins are ever before thee. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. Sure, if I commit sin against my wife, adultery against my wife, sure, that's going to hurt the home. Has to. It's going to affect the marital relationship. It's going to affect the family unit. It's going to hurt Calvary Baptist Church. Their pastor's not what he proclaimed to be. All the churches that I preached in over the years, running revivals and various services here and there. Brother Joe, it's going to hurt that ministry. But yeah, even though it might be a slight against my wife, it might be a hurt against my daughter, it might be a hurt against the people at Calvary Baptist. But God, it's in the very face and the nostrils of a holy, thrice holy God. And that same God that saved my unworthy soul. But God, if you don't think He can take care of us, the Bible said, Brother Josh, He can destroy the flesh to take the soul and save the soul. Been a lot of people met an early demise. Because they walked out on God. God saved them. He redeemed them. And then they said, well, we'll go with God for a while. Next thing you know, they're dabbling in sin. The message today is you have the right to remain silent. Let me just read that to you that you might understand this message when I get to the 3 points a little bit later. I was in law enforcement above 28, 30 years ago. I know I don't look that old, but we had to Mirandize. Mirandizing somebody is giving them their rights. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You say, wait a minute, why are you bringing secular law, Mirandizing, into the message today? Brother Joe, because you have the right to remain silent. God did not save you and call you to preach or sit back and do nothing. He said you have the right to sit there and do nothing, but that's not why I saved you. He said, I put a little preach inside of you. And if I put a little preach down in there, that's what I told Brother Josh. God gave me the message, and He never took it away from me. And whenever these kidney stones hit, He knew if I was going to be in the flesh and say, I'm not going to go. But no, He never took the holy unction away from me to come down here and share it. And my wife just asked me last night. She said, are you still going to be able to go? I said, when I am weak, He is strong. And if He'll let me go, I'm going to go because the unction's still there. The preacher's still in there. Brother David, you have the right to remain silent. Nobody squeezes you and says, you better go preach.
Amen.
It's the Holy God that put it in there.
Amen.
But you have every right to sit there and say nothing. You can do nothing.
Yep. Right.
Does the Bible not tell us that we'll give an account of every what kind of a word before God?
Amen.
Every idle word. There's a time we should sit down and shut up and be quiet. Some of us could take a long lesson from that, myself being one of them. Sometimes my mouth goes more than my head, my heart, and my mouth get me in trouble in a real quick hurry. There's times to be quiet, but when it comes, Brother Joe, to preaching the cross of Calvary, Brother Bud, there's nowhere for you to quit. God put that inside of you. It's in there. You're going to do it. You have to. You said, well, I think I'll quit. Jeremiah tried that, did he not?
Yeah.
Did he not say, I think I'll just stay for a while? What happened just a little while longer? He said, that was in my bones, shut up like a fire. Bless God, this is what's going on. I hadn't been able to preach in a couple of weeks. Two different times being put to sleep, Brother Joe. I didn't know if my mind was even going to wake up. You know, on Friday night, I'm literally just out of the world, you know. They take you out of here, and you don't know where you're at. Your mind starts slowly waking up. And even now, Brother Josh, I'm thinking of scriptures. I don't know where they're at, but they're there. I want them to come back, and I want to preach them. But this morning, as the Lord will help us, I want to look at another passage of scripture. It's going to be found in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33. Because I do want you to see this. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have the right to an attorney. I'm glad we've got an advocate with the Father.
Amen.
If you cannot afford attorney, the Mirandization says if you cannot afford attorney, bless God, the court will appoint you one. He said you'll be appointed one. One will be provided for you. Then we had to pause for just a moment whenever we would Mirandize somebody after having said you have the right to remain silent, that is to say nothing at all, but anything that you do say can and will be used against you in a court of law. If you have an attorney, would like to provide it, that's fine, but if you can't afford one, we'll get you one. And then the next question is this: do you understand your rights? You didn't get a head bob. You didn't get an eye nod. You got a yes or no. Do you understand what I'm telling you, sir? Because I'm getting ready to take you to the hoosegal. And when I take you there, you're not getting out till somebody posts your bond or somebody sets you free. Oh, bless God, I've got somebody that come by and paid my bond and set me free. And when that great big gavel of justice dropped on me and I was found guilty, bless God, come the sentencing phase. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 said that I was worthy of death, for the wages of sin is death. I had a death sentence passed on me, but bless God, enter Jesus Christ. He said, set him free. I've already paid that debt for him.
Amen.
Just go ahead and exonerate him. Expunge his record as if it never happened and let him go. He's been set free. But we always had to ask him, do you understand these rights? The drunk would say, I say, do you understand these? Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes or no? Yeah, that's good enough. What am I saying is, folks, people in this day, they understand their rights. Brother Don, people understand what sin is. People know that it's right and wrong. We learned that from a very young age. Don't stick that screwdriver in that outlet or there will be a reward. In West Ham, that reward's not always something that you want to shout about. You might shout, but let me tell you, consequences come from our choices. You're free to choose, but you're not free from the consequence, from the consequence of the choice that you do make. But bless God, let me tell you, now's not the time to get lily-livered.
That's right.
Now's not the time to back up, slow down, sit down, and sit back and do absolutely nothing. I've got you in the book of Ezekiel chapter 33 for a reason. I want you to see what happens when you give up that calling, that unction that God has put in your heart. I told you you have the right to remain silent. Brother Joe, don't do it. I hope there's not enough people in this world that would ever staunch your message. I find you to be very articulate. I feel love off of you. No, you're not up here spitting three pews back and foaming at the mouth. But you did as much for my heart this morning.
Amen.
As anybody in a long time.
Amen.
I just need to refocus.
Amen.
Iron sharpeneth iron, and if I'm going to sharpen my saw, I'm going to have to spend a little time around some Joe Southern. I'm going to have to get around Brother David Shelton a little while. I'm going to have to spend a little more time with Chris. Brother Joe, we're going to have to get together once in a while. I'm going to have to listen to my wife a little bit because she's been with Jesus. And bless God, iron sharpeneth iron. That'll resharpen our focus. And when we get refocused, bless God, that's when we're supposed to take this fight to the devil. And spare not, cry loud and warn the people. The reason is too great. Listen to me. Ezekiel here in the 33rd chapter. I'm just going to briefly give you a summarization of it. He said, Ezekiel, you've got to warn the people. He said, you've got to warn the people. That's what he was saying. Read it with me. He said, Ezekiel, if you warn the people and they will listen to you and they will hear you. That's how you delivered their soul. You helped them. You did set them free. You did help them. But if they don't hear you, Ezekiel, you still done what I told you to do. Their blood's not on you. You did exactly, Ezekiel, what I told you to do. Preachers, we've got to do what God's told us to do. Listen, we sat around. You say, I ain't a preacher. That Great Commission was not just to preachers. That Great Commission was written to every single one of us that's ever said we were saved by the grace of God. The fields are white unto harvest, but the laborers, where are they at? They're very few. Now listen to me just a minute. We've sat back idle inside of confined walls and low ceilings and heated spaces and comfortable pews. Listen, I did not accept that call to preach at the Planned Parenthood. I'd preached to the Faith and Family Rally with Dr. Ron Beatty. Some of y'all may know Dr. Beatty. And I was with Brother Donnie Shoemaker and some of these other men. I don't know why that I was tagged to be the one. But whenever I got the call, he said, will you be the voice for the unborn at the abortion clinic on this National Day of Protest? I said, who am I? Of all the countless of hundreds of thousands of preachers between here and Greensboro that can go, who am I that I would go down there and do that? They said, you're the one God told. I said, let me pray about that. It was Wednesday night before the Saturday event. It got down to the wire. And Brother Chris and I are doing a little study. We've been working on a program trying to better ourselves, and the preacher said your people going to go where you'll lead them to, and they'll only go as high as you go. I'm working on something, and I'm not going to get into all that, but we've been going to school and trying to better ourselves and get a deeper understanding of the Word of God, not to have a degree beside my name, but to have a deeper understanding of the Word of God. And that particular event of study, we were in the book of Mark doing an advanced survey or advanced study of the book of Mark, and as we were going through that study, Mark doesn't open up with the genealogy of Christ. Mark opens up with the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Mark opens up with John the Baptist, and he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And I'm sitting there getting ready to go to church that night, Brother Joe, and my heart was broken over that thing. And then here comes that phone call and said, this is the event coordinator for the National Day of Protest for the 3,000 block of Maplewood at the Planned Parenthood in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And we've got you down as the keynote speaker. I said, I'm not much of a speaker. I'm actually a preacher, but with God's grace and His help and glory, I'll go and I'll be a voice for the unborn. That comes back to our study. John said, John the Baptist said, I'll be a voice crying in the wilderness. I said, I'll be a voice for those unborn if God will help me. One of the highlights of this young preacher's ministry. Joe, I didn't know how I was going to do that. We pulled up down there and my stomach was in knots, and I looked out there and above 400 people out there, and the doctors are coming out there saying, get off my grass. Get out of our parking lot. Brother Robbie, they were more worried about killing the grass than they were killing about babies. That just got right to my heart. They had me a bullhorn about that big amplified. I turned that thing right to the doctor, and I just had to tell him real quickly, bless God, you're more worried about your grass than you are the babies across the street. And he said, I'm a pediatrician. Well, look to me, bless God, you'd want them babies over there to be born so they can come across the street and have their childhood illnesses taken care of. But now you're not worried about them. You're worried about the almighty dollar. Folks, we got to stand up, spare not, and cry loud and warn this wicked place of their deeds. I'm in that 33rd chapter. The Bible says in chapter number 33 and verse number 4, whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet taketh not warning. If the sword comes, shall take him away. His blood shall be on his own head. Brother Dave, if you keep crying out and they say, we don't want to hear that preacher. You've warned them. You did your job. Preachers back there, Brother Kevin, you keep on preaching.
Amen.
Because you've done your job. You've delivered them. You told them.
Right.
If they fail, if they say, I don't want to hear any more from that Kevin Blake, I don't want to hear that mess. I don't want to hear it. Joe, I don't want to hear that anymore. Guess what? You've delivered.
Amen.
You've done.
Amen.
But there's a staunch and a very, very, very stern warning unto us, the preachers. It's all through the Scriptures. Jeremiah 23 comes into my mind right off the bat. Woe be unto the pastors that scatter the flock. Folks, we're supposed to be including, bringing them in. Now, don't you get me wrong. I won't ever sinner. I don't care if you call her a slut, a prostitute, a harlot. I don't care if you call him a drunk, a drug addict. I don't care what you call him if he's tatted up from head to toe and he looks like the devil himself. I want him in our church. I want him there. I don't want him. I want him to feel welcomed.
Yep.
I want him to feel loved.
Amen.
I want him to feel fellowship off of us, the believers. I do not want that booger comfortable while he's there. I want him to be miserable. I want him to be trying to find a hole to get in. I want him to try to get in or get out. But I don't want him to feel comfortable.
Amen.
I want him to feel loved, welcomed. But I don't want him to sit back and say, wow, I'm going back down there again. I love that. Josh, I want him to say, I'm never going back down there again. Except the Spirit of God constrain him and draw him, put him up here where he can get some cleaning. Man, I'm all over the place today. I don't know if I'm going to help anybody. I really don't. I feel like feels like a big mess. I can tell you folks with full assurity in me, the churches are in mess. Brother Joe's not just lying to you. We've got them up and around our neck of the woods as God help you. I don't know what you got, Davey. I'm not trying to point fingers. You might have a whole deaconess board down there. We've got them up in our necks with putting women on the deacon boards. They don't care how many times you've been married. You can preach. How many times you've been married, you can serve on the deacon board. Our churches are a mess. They're having the early services now where you bring your PJs. You come as you are. That way you can get your crumpet and your bagel and your croutons and all your little tea and everything. And then you can get out of there before the real Christians get there. But what are we doing? We've got biker churches and motorcycle churches and we got cowboy churches and we got churches for everybody. Why? Because nobody wants to conform to what God said. He said there's only one church. He said you come unto me. And he said, "That I take care of you." But now we cater to every class, every people, every personage. God didn't mean it to be that way. You should feel good. I don't care if you have a dirty pair of blue jeans. If that's the best you got, you beat them out on a rock down by the creek. Got them as clean as you can get. They ought to be welcome here.
Amen.
Brother Johnny, that's what God said. Just get them here. He said, "You catch them, I'll clean them." Oh, then those people wrote you off a long time ago. Whenever you just run around these hills and hollers and everybody here in this whole community didn't think there was a way in the world you'd ever end up saved or in church.
Right.
Here you are sitting on the front pew.
Right.
Ain't you glad God didn't write you off, son? Right. Bless God, if God had written us off, we'd all be in hell.
Right.
Every single one of us would be. He says to spare not. Folks, don't hold back. You work beside somebody every day. Do they know you're a Christian? If you've worked beside of them, if you've gone to class with them, if you've worked in their proximity, if you've lived across the road from them for any length of time, and Brother Bud, they don't know you're a banner carrier. If they don't know you're a preacher of the cross, shame on you.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that they don't. I'm just saying.
Right.
If you work beside them and you run a knitting machine beside of them, or you go to class with them, or you just moved into the community, if they don't know that you're a Christian, then you have been silent too long. Yeah, you have that right to remain silent. That doesn't mean you should. I'm not saying you take this across the street and you go browbeating them to death with this. Brother Joe, how hard is it, though, to open up a conversation with somebody about the Lord? You look at that beautiful day out there and say, my goodness, aren't you glad that rain's gone?
Yeah.
But you know it rains on the just and the unjust, bless God. Next thing you know, you're in a conversation about Jesus.
Yes, sir.
It's that easy. What a beautiful day for the Lord to come back. It doesn't take much in the conversational turn. Preachers, let me ask you this. I don't know if you've got it, Brother Davey, but I don't know if y'all got it. You still down at Northwood? When you're not on the road, I understand that. You got somebody back here from Deliverance. Where was that preacher from Deliverance back there? Is that where Brother Ricky was at? Brother Ricky Triplett was there for a few years, or different Deliverance? Y'all got any promiscuity in your church? promiscuity going on, any teenage sex going on, any babies popping out like Pez dispensers from girls that ain't married, shacked up with boys. Moms and daddies letting it go on under the roof. They send them off to the beach together.
Yes.
Yeah, I understand that when you kids go off to the beach together, I'm sure you're getting separate hotel rooms. I'm sure you take one camper, somebody sleeping in the bed of the truck, somebody sleeping in the camper. Let me tell you, you parents need to have a little better watch on that junk. Because what's happening is this. Those people that do live across the road from you, they say, well, that's God, the preacher's daughter just took off with her boyfriend. I saw it on Facebook. They've been to the beach all week. They know you didn't get two rooms. You ain't that wealthy. You didn't get two rooms. But Brother Joe, whenever I see that going on as a preacher, and I preach out against that promiscuity, and I preach against that, that's an abomination inside of God, and it's fornication, and all these things, and wickedness, Brother Joe, if I cry out against it, I upset people. And when people get upset, do they get upset at me? Yes, they do. Should they? No, they should not. Why? Because the Bible said, obey them that have the rule over you. Here that they watch for your soul. Why? Because, what's the next part, Brother David? He said, they must give an account unto God.
Amen.
I'm going to give an account unto God for how you raised that youngin'. If you're in my flock, do I just overlook that sin and say, well, just do the best you can with her. I know she's a little harlot. I know she was created in sin. She was conceived in iniquity. Just do the best you can with her. And we'll hope and pray she comes out okay on the other side. You better get a grip on that little boy. You better get a grip on that little girl. You're going to lose them at an early age if you're not very careful. Do I just overlook things that are going to hurt the congregation, going to overhurt the flock, Brother Joe? Can a man take just a little bit of fire into his bosom and not be burned? How much sin after the fall of Jericho? How much sin was it at Ai? What was that battle like? They just saw it as a small stronghold. We don't even need to go fight that fight. They're just a tender people. I believe God showed them, did He not? Did He not use the sin of one man by the name of Achan? And the sin of that man brought a reproach upon all. Yeah. Above 30 people were then slain. Amen. Took Achan, his wife, and his children down to the valley of Achor and stoned them to death. God. And his cattle and everything that he had. Let me tell you, sin's not going to go unnoticed.
Amen.
We better start crying aloud.
Amen.
You say, oh, what have you got now? I've got three quick points and we're out of here. You said, my goodness, still got three. Yeah, we do. I want to give them to you real quick. I won't be but just another minute. To rebuke, to exhort, but do it with all long suffering. Be patient, Brother Josh. Preachers, we've got to be patient. I didn't come out of the mother's womb learning how to walk and talk. These people that come up and say, Lord, save me, they don't get up from here knowing how to walk and talk. They just don't. We got to be patient with them. We got to disciple them. I think that's one of our greatest failings as a pastor. One of our greatest failings as a church is we don't disciple people. We expect that they come out of the womb of grace and they know just like we do. Everything about the Bible. But I still don't know anything about it. Every day I pick it up, I learn something new. But we expect that they come out of that womb of grace. All of a sudden they know how to walk and talk and dress and be and do and go and tithe and give. No, they don't know that stuff. We've got to disciple them and mentor them. Here's the reasons, church, that we cannot be silent any longer. Sin's effects are too great. You said, preacher, what is that? Do you now realize that when the last census was taking place, America as a nation now has a higher percentage of divorcees than they do of people remaining married? Ryan, you and Annette just had an anniversary not too awful long ago. What did you have, 22, 5? 22? I got you beat by a few. Cindy and I will have our 29th. Do you know you're a rarity? You are in the minority. I'm not saying you've had a perfect marriage. You've got your bumps and bruises and scrapes and scratches along the way. Bless God, you stayed in there. You made it work. Bless God, Brother Johnny, you and Lily got to be above 110. I don't know. I mean, you've been married ever since I've known you, and that's above 20. How long y'all been married? 40, 50?
54.
54 years. Anybody been married longer than 54 years? Don, how about you and Geraldine? I'm glad you answered. Don said, I forgot so many years ago. Do you know that's you're very rare?
Right.
Brother Johnny, do you know you're very rare? Sin's consequences are too great, Brother Joe, for us to not cry out and warn the people. They just think, well, we can get the dang thing annulled if it don't work out. Chris, you chase Jesus, and you chase Jesus as hard as you can go. If there's a girl out there, and she can keep up with you, bless God, turn around and introduce yourself. But bless God, if she can't keep up with you, you keep running to the cross, and bless God, He'll show you one. You young girls, let me tell you, fall in love with Jesus. There's a young man somewhere that's chasing God as much as you are. And bless God, He'll put you together. Here's the cross. Here you are. Here she is. If you'll both run to the cross, you'll run into each other somewhere along the way. So cry out. Spare not, warn the people. Josh, this has always been a strong church. Oh, she's got a checkered past. She's got division. She's got this. She's got that. But bless God, God still got her here on the side of the road for a reason. Now don't mess it up before you leave. Spare not. Cry loud, warn the people. Preach this word, brother. You got a good group of people here. I've loved these people longer than you have. They've never turned their back on me. Brother Johnny, y'all been around, and Geraldine, y'all, I've watched you. I've mimicked your lives. I've seen you. I've watched you. We broke bread together, Brother Paul. I've eaten your chicken stew before. I like it. We're still in this thing together. There's nowhere in here for us to throw the towel in now and quit and back up. The effects of sin are far too great for us to remain silent. Let me give you a few people. Anybody heard of Elvis Presley? Y'all heard of Elvis the Pelvis? A little this and stuff going on. Anybody ever heard of Whitney Houston? Keith Whitley? Michael Jackson? What did the common denominator in all them people? They call you T-Roy. What was the common denominator in all them people? They died young. You know why they died young? But you named it. Say that into this.
Sin.
Because of sin. Just last year, and there's nobody here from my church, anybody here from Calvary except Brother Chris and my family, I had a dear lady, oh my goodness, bless her dear soul. She'd give that thing a trial run so many times. We'd be running to the hospital here and running to the hospital there. Drugs, drugs, drugs. You said, what kind of illicit drugs? Meth, crystal meth, ice crank? No, stuff you get right across your doctor's office. Gotta have it. Oh, I can't do without it. Oh, gotta have it. I'm hurting. They gave me some Percocet for these kidney stones last week. I never even got the prescription filled. I took the ones they gave me at the ER. Didn't use the bathroom for a week. And I said, that's about enough of that. I didn't like the way it made me feel. After two Dulcolax, two enemas, two suppositories, a bottle of magnesium citrate, warm cup of prune juice, two apples, and some apple juice, I had the hazmat team on standby waiting for something to happen. You know what? It never happened. You drink a whole bottle of that stuff, eat a... I told you, two Dulcolax, two suppositories, a bottle of that stuff, and still nothing. Why would you want the effects of whatever that narcotic that you're putting in your body? There's got to be a system of weights and balances here. You're going to have to give up something to get that effect.
That's right.
I choose to have my bowels move once a month. I don't like the other part. I just don't. I like if the euphoria of the effect of a narcotic makes me feel that way. But I don't poop for a month, Brother Joe. I think I've lost the effect.
Yeah.
That dear lady, though, she had trial run after trial run after trial run.
Yeah, come on.
Without fail, at least once a month, I've got a broken husband. I've got a broken daughter, Brother Joe. You know who I'm talking about. Brother Chris, you see them. And they run up there because of this young mom that could not get herself out of the pain bottle. Folks, they all died young. And bless God, this preacher would stand there Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, and I would say, some of you need to get delivered from the pharmacon. Some of you need to be delivered from the pornea. Some of you need to be delivered from this or from that. Some of you got to get some help, and Jesus is your answer. But yet, if you refuse not to come, if I diagnosed you, I'm now a cardiologist, and I said, I've detected some AFib in there. And I tell you what, I think you might have a blockage. And I'm the cardiologist, and I'm saying, Joe, you've got to go get that thing looked at. That's a time bomb waiting to happen. I give you the diagnosis. I told you what was wrong with you. If you choose to ignore me, guess what? You're on your own, son. But if you go down there and let that same cardiologist look at that heart, fix what's broken in there, maybe run the Roto-Rooter, put a stent in, do whatever, maybe just thin your blood a little bit. Maybe it's nothing, just a beta blocker, just to get you on the right, a baby aspirin. But if you choose to ignore what he said, you're on your own. That's the same thing with sin. God can diagnose us. He can say, you've got a problem with sin, son. And he tell you what, I tell you what, you got a problem with it, but I got deliverance for you. If you don't never go get the deliverance, you're going to walk around just like that. The effects of sin are far too great. Some of you say, preachers, you shouldn't have used those names. You shouldn't have used that lady. I tell you what, if she could come back, she'd be doing the same thing. She'd be saying, don't do what I did. If she could come back, she'd scream to her daughter, don't go that path. Don't follow this trail. It leads to a dead end. It's nothing. Parents, would you rather me preach against sin, expose the sin that's in your household or in your church, preachers? Would you rather me, Brother David, come down there to the church you pastor and say, everybody, you got the best pastor, you got the best Savior, you got the best church, everybody's okay, just go on to the house. No, I'm going to come in there and tear that place up. I'm going to tell them, bless God, you got a heart of stone. You need a heart of flesh. God can do that. He can break up the fallow ground of your heart and give you something that can actually feel again. But sin's effects are far too great for us to sit back and be quiet. Far too great. The effects of sin are far too great. And how about this next one? I'm almost done. My body's going to wear out before the message does. How hard is it to be saved? Folks, it's so simple. The effects of sin are too great. But salvation is so simple. Childlike faith. You say, well, I can't memorize that 30-word prayer that you're supposed to pray that's printed on the back of every gospel tract I've ever seen. Forget that little. Would y'all please forget that 30-word prayer on the back of every gospel tract you've ever seen? Go to the cross and listen to His simple plea. Charlene, he simply said, Lord, that's acknowledging His supremeness. The other thief is railing on Him, putting questions and doubts, saying, if you be the Christ, if thou be the man, if thou able to save thyself, get us down. He's worried about the flesh. He's all about the temporal. Oh, Dean, that old thief on the other side looked beyond the cross. He says, this man's done nothing. He's talking about that sinless perfection of Jesus. He said, this man in the middle's done nothing. We're receiving our just reward. But this man on the middle cross, he's guilty of what condemnation that we're under. He simply looks at Jesus. He looks at that middle cross and the man that hung on it and said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Folks, we have made this thing so hard. It is ABC. Admit that you're a sinner. Believe in Jesus Christ. Confess that with your mouth that He is the Savior. Thou shalt be saved. The effects of sin are too great for us to be quiet. Salvation is too simple not to share it with anybody. Anybody here find a good steakhouse, a good seafood house? What do you do, Ryan, when you find the best seafood house, the best steakhouse? What do you want to do? You want to go tell somebody about it. Does the Bible not say to come and taste and see that the Lord, He is good? Is that not right?
You're right.
If you get a good bargain somewhere, and don't you want to tell somebody about the good deal that you found on the whatever it was? First thing I want to do, Ryan, you ain't going to believe. I got a box of mini mags. They had a brick of them things, 500 of them for $2 at Gander Mountain. You better go get you some. They're going to be gone. Yet we find something as sweet as our Savior. We say, Bud, we hold it in. We don't tell anybody about Him. Man, I'm inviting people to churches everywhere. I used to postmaster, and I'm bivocational. I still work. Don't think I'm sitting back. I'm not a moocher or a moochinary, and I still work 40, 50 hours a week like the rest of you and pastor that big old crowd up there, a bunch of reprobates and everybody else that God gave me. It's not a perfect church because I'm there. Postmaster down in Yadkin County. When you pastor in Wilkes County, in Wilkesboro, and you postmaster, that's hard for me to separate. Postmaster and pastor. I'm a pastor master. Or a post pastor. Well, this post pastor master, When I was in Yadkin County, I was in Boonville for 13 years as the postmaster down there. It's hard for me to get people to come to Wilkes County. It really was. But how many people have I invited out to Morrow Road? I said, you know, Brother Randy Johnson, my goodness, what a preaching machine. You got to go to Morrow Road. You know, Brother Bud Wishon, you know, Brother Alan Barker, get down there to Northwood, bless God. They'll bless your heart. I'm inviting people to church. You got to do it wherever you're at. I don't care where you're at. Tell somebody about God. Find a local assembly in that place and say, you know, Brother Joe Souther, bless God, they got a church right up above CBL. Go over there and hear him preach. Bless God, he'll cut your heart out and never leave the pulpit. The sin's effects are so great, we can't sit back, Josh, any longer. Salvation's so simple. It is. If it wasn't simple, me and you still be looking for another way in. We're pretty simple people. Brother Joe probably got a doctor of theology, divinity, and every other name he put behind it. Bless God, I got a degree in theology. I got it on my knees. Spent too much time behind left-handed Mexican primers in the tobacco patch, being sprayed with MH-30. That stuff, it kills you. We're still here. Still got that red clay mud between my toes. Who would have ever thought that God would ever call me out of that mud hole and save me and then call me to preach? Here's the ladder. Now I'm going to close on this one. I'm going back to Ezekiel chapter 33. I got to go read that scripture before I hit this last point. Verse number 7, that so thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. And folks, that's what's happening. We've got to tell them like it is. Sin has a consequence. When thou say to the man, thou shalt surely die. If thou doest not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. If we remain silent, their blood will be on our hands. Brings up my last point. I told you that sin's effects are too great to remain silent. Salvation is too simple not to share it. And this is it. I'm going to read you one verse and I'm going to tell you the point. Ecclesiastes 11:3. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north in the place where the tree falleth, there shall it be. You say, why'd you read that? Because eternity is forever settled. Let me tell you this. There's books being written. There's movies being made about 90 minutes in heaven and 30 minutes in hell, 15 minutes here and 20 minutes there. Folks, don't you believe that? When you leave this world and you stand before your Creator, and Brother Kevin, he opens up that book, he said, and the books he opened, he said, and another book, which is the book of life. He said, if your name's not found in that book of life, he said, you're going to be cast out. That's just as simple and sad as I know how to put it. Eternal consequences in heaven or eternal consequences in a devil's hell. That's how serious that this thing is. If you silence yourself and you silence and staunch your message, or you tone it down to please the people, we are not here to be a people pleaser. We better please God rather than men. Because when we start pleasing men, we might keep a pulpit, but we might lose a population to a devil's hell. And bless God, we'll stand there ourselves with their blood required in our hand on that day of judgment. I don't want them on my hands. Chris, I don't want it on my hands. I want to cry out. I want to be more passionate with the cross. I want to be more about His business. I can't wait to the day, Brother Joe, when I tell my own Duke Power, bless God, I'm going to go and I'm going to do what God's put in my heart to do. But it's got to be in God's timing. I don't want to go there and then have to become a handyman and shine shoes and sell insurance and do this and do that. Bless God, when I leave, I want God to put it on that church's heart to say that's our man. And bless God, we're going to take care of him until the Lord calls him home or moves him on to another vineyard. I want to do that. October the 19th this year, I'll have my 30 years in. And I want to do that, Brother Johnny. But I got to do it in His timing. In His way. Sin's effects are too great for us to sit here quiet and do nothing about it, Brother David. It is. Salvation is too simple for us not to share that with others. And the choices that will be made are eternal. Brother Josh, come up, and maybe your choir leader, whoever you got going on. Folks, you have the right to remain silent. That is to do nothing or say nothing at all. Lord's not twisting your arm to preach. Dave, you go back down there right now. Tell them you're resigning. I'm just going to kick back. I'm going to get me a secular job. I'm going to do nothing. I'm just going to work. And listen, you're supposed to work. The Bible says man won't work, neither should he eat. We become a nation of grasshoppers rather than ants. A bunch of moochers. Everybody wants something that everybody else has got. That's the truth.
It is, brother.
Maybe you can say, I'm just going to become an employee. I'm not going to do anything else. See how long that lasts. If it's in your heart, you're going to preach.
Yes, right.
But you have the right to remain silent. Yes, you don't have to do that. Brother Joe, you have the right to remain silent. You don't have to proclaim this. You don't have to wake up at 3 in the morning with some church member broken your heart. You don't have to get up, put your pants on, and go cry over somebody's took a handful of pills big enough to kill an average-sized horse. You don't have to follow that casket. You don't have to carry that little baby's casket in about that long of a 3-day-old baby and stand over it and try to comfort a mother's heart and a daddy's heart, not fully understanding why God took that little baby, but knowing that He did. You don't have to put yourself through that. You don't have to stay up countless hours studying that blessed book. I heard somebody the other day, they were mocking preachers. They were mocking Christians, saying, how come they're the only people who have to read the same book over and over and over just to get the understanding out of it? Bless God, that's the living, infallible Word of God. Brother Jack Osborne, my dear pastor, used to say, he had that little worn-out Bible. He'd stand right up there, and he would say, some of them asked him one time, said, preacher, is that the Bible you're going to be buried with? He'd say, no, 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 no. He'd clap him little hands like that. He'd say, no, 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 no. He said, you don't bury something that's alive. How many times we hear him say that, Brother Johnny? You don't bury something that's alive. You don't have to run yourself up and down the road, Brother Joe, wearing yourself out. Pastor Deliverance, you don't have to do that. You have the right to remain silent. You sit back and do absolutely nothing. Let this whole world around us just die and go to hell. But my folks, if we do just that, at our hand at judgment, Brother Bud, that blood of the lost man would be required. As we stand to our feet, Brother Josh, the service is yours. You have the right to remain silent. Do nothing. Build a gym down here. Call it the Ronda Rec League. Quit preaching. Have bingo games and tofu parties and toga parties. Just do whatever, but don't preach. You have that right. There's nothing forcing you to be the man of God that I know you to be. Except that the Word of God constrains you.
That's right.
Effects are too great. Before this week ends, somebody's going out of here in a car wreck just like that. Before we leave here, somebody's going to stand before God. Let them stand there and say, I heard the message. I accepted the message. And if my God in heaven says, Christopher Shoemate, why should I let you into my heaven? What are you going to tell them? I did the best I could. Proclaim it loudly. God, I'm coming by the Lamb. I'm coming by your Son. That same Son that John saw when he said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. I'm coming because of what that Lamb did whenever he gave his life for me on the cross of Calvary. The only thing I have to plead is the blood.
Yes.
He'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But Lord, Josh, if you stand there before him, said, nobody ever told me. He said, I worked beside that Josh Blevin, but he never told me. I worked beside that Navy Shelton for 10 years. He never mentioned you. How could I know if nobody showed me or told me? Navy knew, but he didn't. He lived before me a reckless and a callous life. Lord, I didn't know. He didn't tell me. She cussed worse than I did. He was worse than I was. Bless God, we're not going to be measured by her. We're not going to be measured by him. Lily, we're going to be measured by this.
Amen.
You'll not, nobody under this roof leave here today and say, Brother Joe Souther didn't tell you. You'll not leave here today and say, Preacher Mark didn't tell you. You'll not leave here today knowing this pastor loves you. I appreciate the invitation. What an honor to be here. I hope it's not been too scattered, church. I felt like I'm coming home. Body's weak, tired. I was going to the Cherry Grove Men's Conference. If you ain't got nowhere to be between the hours of 2 and 6, I know y'all got Jubilee tonight. Brother Davey, I believe, preaching again tonight. Brother Bud, one of them. If you ain't got nowhere to be between 2 and 6, oh, Woodward School up there. I was going, but I think I'm going to go home and lay down. But anyway, church, I love you. Zelma, I love y'all. Y'all been a part of my life longer than that young has been alive. Right here, right under my feet. Oh, so many years ago, I was sitting right there where Miss Macy's at. Her little feet barely over her touching the pedals. Saying, I thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. And I just stood up going to thank him for his blessings on me. Next thing I know, that 5 years of wrestling with the Savior, I stood up right here where she's standing now. And I popped up and I said, instead of saying, I just want to thank you, Lord, for saving me, I said, I'm going to preach. I remember that, Brother Johnny. I popped up and said, I'm going to preach. Next thing I know, altar's full. Brother Don Myers over here squalling like a baby. People praying around me. I don't really remember what happened. It's like a heavy fog set in here for just a little while. I got up and Brother Jack says, Brother Mark, what is it that you're going to do? I said, Brother Jack, I ain't got nothing else to do but to preach God's Word. That's what he's put in my heart to do. He looked around and said, come back Sunday. Brother Mark's going to be preaching his homecoming. Never forget that as long as I live. I hope I didn't mess nothing up for you, preacher. If I said anything, I got any scriptures contorted. I got them backward. I'll put Moses in the ark and Zacharias in the tree rather than Zacchaeus. But if I got anything messed up, you charge it to the narcotics that I had been on. You put to sleep twice in 2 weeks, you just don't wake up all body parts at the same time. But if I messed up anything, you charge it to my head, not my heart, because my heart's pure before God. I love you, Brother Josh.